This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Well, good morning, America. This is Gun Owners News Hour. Coming out of the NRA show. Well, first of all, the NRA show is actually designed for people, just regular people to come and get to check out what is new and check out the acres and acres of gear, guns, exhibits. And one thing that's always happening at the NRA show, or any of these shows for that matter, is that there's a lot of pictures being taken. Lots of pictures, lots of video. Then they're used by corporate media and others to illustrate certain, there's stories about violent crime and mass shootings that the allegedly deplorable easy access of Americans to have firearms, yada, yada, yada. Enter Evelyn Huckstein of Reuters. She was there. And there's a photo that has resulted in enough blowback that the news agency decided they needed to defend their photographer. The only problem is they did it using some outright lies. Now, the photo is of a young 6-year-old man named Hudson Eckhart. And that was used by many outlets. And it was the UK Daily Mail's, one of their breathless stories about, oh my God, children holding non-working guns, titled, "Very Young Guns, Kids as Young as 6 Handle Real Firearms at the NRA Convention as America is on Course for the Deadliest Year on Record, with 469 teens and children dead from gun violence so far this year." Oh my God, the humanity. And as Fox News reported, little Hudson's grandfather, who took him to the NRA show, isn't happy about the picture that was taken, and he called the photo of his 6-year-old grandchild aiming the firearm toward the camera a setup. What I noticed was the photographer was moving around so that whichever direction his grandson was, she tried to get in front of him. So this is him basically aiming a gun at the camera, looking all dangerous as a 6-year-old can. And it has been used and reused by articles highlighting how often children die by gunfire. Huckstein allegedly told the boy to look at her as he handled one of the firearms, citing what his grandson, and Eckhart said, citing what his grandson told him. The photo captured a shot of the young boy looking at the camera straight on while appearing to point the gun at the lens. Now, Grandpa Eckhart was probably right there while Huckstein was taking pictures, and you could see him in one of the photos included in the Daily Mail story, and she would have had to have talked to him to get information for the photo credits. And we get this from the NRA on Twitter. Meet at Reuters photographer Evelyn Huckstein at NRA annual meeting. Parents/grandparents say that she staged photos featuring their children. She instructed the kids to pick up guns and position herself in front of them to capture the images that she wanted. And you see a picture of a kid with a gun. It's a revolver, so you can see it has no ammo. It has a tag and a cable connecting it to the table, so only somebody that tall could actually stick it up there. Now, they do concede that the photographer identified herself. But he was under the impression, he said, that she was there on the behalf of the NRA due to her chit-chatting with him. And he provided the photojournalist with his name as well as his grandson's name and age, assuming the photos would be used for an NRA collage or something similar. At these shows, from time to time, you will have reporters show up and they'll want to interview you. The first thing you have to figure out is who are they and what are they wanting to do. So if they come to you, and I mean, I've had a few people come to me and go, "I'm CNN. I don't want to talk to you." Because assume that everything you say is going to be edited and then transcribed in the edited form. And there is the rub. The young boy's father, Nathan Eckhart, added that the photographer set the photo up so that it looked like his son took the gun when he was aiming it at her face. So, he did not attend the NRA event, but he and his wife said they're working to get the photos removed from Reuters' website and from the news articles that included them. And good luck with that. Now, for whatever reason, they do allow people to come into these NRA conventions that you would consider to be enemies of the Second Amendment. Some of them are going to take a lot of media, they're going to mishandle it, they're going to say a lot of things about it, they're going to put a lot of things in there, they're going to add and embellish. And that's where the problem is. And they made the photo of Little Hudson, the first one in its slideshow of the scenes from the convention. And then you get this from Shannon Watts, right? She saw them. She took them. She put them up on her Twitter feed. Photos of children handling guns at the NRA annual meeting in Indianapolis this weekend by @EvelynPicks at Reuters. Gun violence is now the leading cause of death of children in America. You should actually, sort of anticipate this. But if you don't, if you didn't, then the problem is yours. Now, the heat over the photo was enough that the news agency had to defend her. And a Reuters spokesperson told Fox News Digital the company rejects any suggestion of wrongdoing by the Reuters photojournalist covering the NRA convention in Indianapolis. They also said the Eckhart family, it is untrue that she asked a child to look at her to get the shot of the young boy pointing the gun at the camera. We stand by our photographs, which are in the public interest and meet our standards and the Thomson Reuters trust principles. Our photographer was at all times wearing a press badge and clearly introduced herself to adults as a photojournalist working for Reuters before taking any pictures of children. She took these pictures in a section of the convention designated for media, where signs informed attendees they might be photographed by the press, and also obtained consent for all photographs from parents or guardians, not children. And that's unquestionably true. When you go there, if you're going to do certain things, then you have to get credentialed. If you want access to certain things and you want to do certain things. And if you don't get credentialed, then you just don't get the access. That's nothing new. NRA Director of Media Relations Amy Hunter pushed back against the assertion that Fox News Digital that there are no signs to say attendees might get pictured by the press or members of the media, and they've never had a designated media section on the exhibition floor. And that's correct. There is no designated media. That's just something that was made up by Reuters because the entire event is designated media. So no indication why Reuters felt that was what had to be said in order to have the phony story. All that said, if you are attending a newsworthy semi-public event like the NRA show with literally tens of thousands of people, all of whom are carrying at least a phone which has a camera built into it, then this is something that should be expected. See, normally you would get out there and you'd be like, when I was out there on the floor, I got muzzled by 50 people with guns. It is impossible for that not to happen. That's why all the guns are in op. They're all disabled. So, anything that you do, anytime you get out there, there is no appeasing. There is no, there's no middle ground with this. And if you're going to do it, well, then that's where the things are going to happen. This kind of thing is going to occur. And get used. It happens every day. Nothing new. There's nothing new about this at all. Nothing at all new. The only thing that's new about it is that some people are complaining about it for the first time. And, you can complain about it, but guess what? It got abused. That's what the anti-gun people do. They abuse it all the time. We'll be right back. This is Gun Owners News Hour.
No matter where you live, what you make, or who you voted for, there are some things that will impact all of us soon. Whether you're concerned about the alarming increase in man-made disasters, financial institutions collapsing, or worsening food shortages, Americans are preparing in numbers not seen since World War II. What's changed is how we prepare. And the folks at My Patriot Supply have made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind, knowing you're ready for what's next. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on over a dozen emergency food kits. These include tasty breakfasts, lunches, dinners, drinks, fruits, veggies, meats, and snacks, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit per person. As we all know, calories equals energy equals survival. My Patriot Supply food kits are in stock and shipped discreetly. We've seen too many Americans let down by institutions we used to trust. It's time to rely on ourselves. MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
For over 25 years, Arrow Precision has paved the way as a leading manufacturer of American-made AR parts. Arrow Precision caters to the rifle builder by engineering quality receivers, handguards, and other essential parts. Arrow Precision's added enhancements create a smooth build process from start to finish for beginners and seasoned builders. Whether this is your first rifle or your 50th, Arrow Precision offers everything you need to make a quality AR at an affordable price.
At Spikes Tactical, we are all shooters with a very simple mission. Make the best product we can perfect at the best possible price for our consumers. We strive to produce the best components and rifles available, with quality control second to none, because real-world events don't allow for a second chance. Whether you are an operator, competitor, or home defender, Spikes Tactical will serve you well. Go to SpikesTactical.com. Spikes Tactical, 100% American-made to the highest standard.
Across the country, people are coming together to speed up what we can learn about health. The All of Us Research Program is calling on 1 million people to join us as we try to change the future of health. For your family, for future generations, for all of us. Visit joinallofus.org and find out how you can become one in a million.
I had no idea it would destroy my life. But before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
All right, welcome back. This is Gun Owners News Hour. Gabby Giffords, former Representative Gabby Giffords, her political career was brought to an end by an insane guy. And the insane guy Well, shot her. End of career. No one thinks what happened to her was she didn't deserve it. It wasn't justified. So it is not surprising to me. And, you know, I'm thankful that she recovered. I am. But she did start a gun control group, and I don't think anybody was overly shocked by that. She sort of tries to ride the fence on this. And she does it, and it's because you see pictures of her and her husband all the time, the senator. You see pictures of her and him all the time with guns. We believe in the Second Amendment, but many of the Gifford supporters have argued over and over again that people like her respect the Second Amendment because of this little kabuki theater they put on, and they just want common sense gun control. But the problem is Gabrielle Giffords didn't get this. She was asked how she keeps coming back to a challenge so deeply ingrained in politics, and she said no more guns. Amber, her aide and advisor, tried to clarify that she means no more gun violence, but Giffords was emphatically saying, no, no, no. Lord, no. Guns, guns, guns. No more guns. Gone. And then the aide tried to say that this is something like Australia, but that's not what Giffords said. And based on quotes throughout the piece, her mind is sharp enough that if it were, she'd have said it. And she didn't. She never mentioned Australia. She said no more guns. In fact, she apparently said it twice. This is the quiet part. Gun control advocates, endgame, which is hard to understand, but a tenet or component of it is the complete disarmament of the civilian population. They're not advocating for that explicitly at the moment, but they feel like incrementalism will eventually lead that way. And so far, nothing's been repealed. And those of us that were against any of this, we were called crazy and paranoid and a few other things. And yet, here we are. A voice in the gun control debate, one that is held up as the perfect spokesperson due to her own personal experiences, says, no more guns. And her name is on the organization. So now the Giffords organization is in a bad spot. They either agree with no more guns or they don't. And no one should accept the claim that the former congresswoman was talking about Australia when she clearly never mentioned it. They need to be pressed and pressed hard over this, and any talk of being like Australia should be questioned even harder. They either need to defend Gabby's comments or disavow them. Disavowing them would also be a very interesting thing, because to do that, that means that they're basically admitting to the fact that they trot her out there to garner sympathy. So they won't disavow. And of course, the regular media is not interested in doing anything with it except covering for her as the, you know, they merely accepted the aide's explanation as if that was all needed to be said. They were given an excuse that they felt like it had a leg, so they ran with it. And no one else should accept this, though, because either Giffords is cogent enough to speak on behalf of gun control, or she's not. And if she is, then her words should be taken at face value, as anybody else's would. And if she isn't, well, then they need to disavow. But if not, she probably doesn't need to be making the rounds advocating for a policy that she's not sharp enough to adequately define her position on before a member of the press. Is that too harsh of me? There's an op-ed out there. And there's some things out there that shouldn't be controversial at all, you know, like being able to make guns, having the right to make guns. It's a legal product that's manufactured and sold in accordance with federal and any applicable state law, and there are a lot of them. And if laws work, right, then they shouldn't be a problem. If not, then there's no reason for them to exist. And it seems that the op-ed takes issue with gun makers because they simply exist. And it starts out basic enough. Here it is verbatim. There's a familiar pattern after the mass shootings that have become well-known feature of American life. The initial shock and grief gives way to demands for greater regulation of gun ownership by Democrats, while Republicans dismiss such measures and blame mental illness instead. But we actually want to do something about it. We need to have new conversations. We often talk about where and how weapons are purchased, but rarely where and how they are manufactured. These realities challenge the conventional way we talk about guns in terms of a culture war between red and blue states. The blue states of Massachusetts and Connecticut have some of the strictest regulations on firearms carrying and possession, but they're also major sites of gun manufacturing in this country. The weapons used in the 2018 Parkland shooting, for example, were manufactured by Smith & Wesson. And we've heard this before, and it's always funny to me how many gun makers are headquartered in very anti-gun states. Yeah. But then it goes off the rail. The deeper and bigger point is that the U.S. is the world's principal supplier of weapons. The U.S. weapons industry makes both heavy weapons like military aircraft, bombs and missiles, and small arms like rifles and handguns. And Smith & Wesson doesn't have a plane, by the way. As of 2021, over 40% of the world's exported arms came from the United States, many of them manufactured in deep blue states. That's bad, I guess, right? And if this was some sort of anti-war rant, I could at least respect where they're coming from. But the thing is, it doesn't look like they are. September 2014, local police in the state of Guerrero, Mexico, were responsible for the disappearance and murder of some 43 students from the Ayotzinapa Rural Teachers College. The police were armed with rifles that were supplied legally from Colt, a prominent U.S. gun manufacturer, headquartered in Connecticut. You know, where the guns come from, for example, any gun sold outside the United States has to have State Department approval. They were not carried out in a vacuum. This just didn't just happen, right? There's actually a process behind this. Because the gun industry is the most regulated industry that builds anything in the United States. And while the United States makes a lot of weapons, we're far from the only producer. To say that Mexico shouldn't be permitted to buy guns from the U.S. would stop atrocities like what happened in Mexico, but then they get guns from China or Russia. They will. There's a need. There's a need to have guns in some cases. But the idea that gun makers are responsible for the misuse of their products is stupid. That's like saying the truck attack in Nice, France was actually Renault's fault. These guys are embarrassing themselves. They should really just quit. Some of this stuff is just stupid. We'll be right back. This is Gun Owners News Hour. At Chambers Custom, we have one job. We strive to build the most obsessively reliable, accurate, and beautiful pistols for the discriminating gun owner. Fusing the ageless 1911 design with a 21st century approach to each part and component, Chambers Custom meticulously begins each pistol as a standalone project, creating a bespoke, handcrafted, peerless firearm. They integrate all of the internal, external, and intrinsic elements that make a custom 1911 unique. Go to ChambersCustom.com. Chambers Custom, truly the mechanical advantage.
For over 25 years, Arrow Precision has paved the way as a leading manufacturer of American-made AR parts. Arrow Precision caters to the rifle builder by engineering quality receivers, handguards, and other essential parts. Arrow Precision's added enhancements create a smooth build process from start to finish for beginners and seasoned builders. Whether this is your first rifle or your 50th, Arrow Precision offers everything you need to make a quality AR at an affordable price.
USA News Update. Abortion laws are holding up in GOP-led states.
Two bills restricting abortion in South Carolina and Nebraska both failed to pass. A near total abortion ban failed to pass in South Carolina's Senate by a 22-21 vote, marking the third time such a measure hasn't passed in a GOP-led chamber since the Supreme Court overturned Roe last year. I'm Lance Pry.
A federal judge in Illinois granting a temporary injunction blocking the enforcement of a gun law which bans some semi-automatic rifles as well as high-capacity magazines. All Army pilots that are not involved in critical missions are being grounded after two recent helicopter crashes that killed 12 soldiers. Montana banning transgender health care for minors. Governor Greg Gianforte signing that bill yesterday. Corey Myers, USA News.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is a perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
This is Gun Owners News Hours. When he was Vice President, Joe Biden said, you want to keep someone away from your house, just fire the shotgun through the door. Not the best advice. Shoot through the door. No problem. Biden has admitted to owning two shotguns. He's also called for a ban on the AR-style semi-automatic rifle, and he describes them as weapons of war, which is pretty doggone funny. Because anytime you get out there and you see somebody saying, this is a this and this is a that, well, what happens is, inevitably, somebody's going to go, well, what is a assault weapon? Which nobody wants to define. So, I think this is the perfect time for the House, in the form of McCarthy and all, to get out there and write legislation to actually define it. Define what is an assault weapon. And then this open-ended nonsense would end. In addition to making the repeated and entirely untrue statement that the Second Amendment wouldn't have allowed citizens to own cannons, he apparently forgets that shotguns, because they were in a lot of use at the time, were a weapon of war. Because U.S. soldiers have actually been issued a number of pump-action shotguns, notably the Winchester Model 1897, and these firearms quickly earned the infamous moniker trench shotgun. They came with a bayonet, and they had 12-gauge in it. And it is the Peter P. Carney, the then editor for the National Sports Syndicate, wrote in 1918, the trench shotgun is America's greatest contribution to the war. Through the expert handling of the trench shotgun, the Germans learned that the Yanks were coming. After the first taste of the pellets, the Germans began to whine and then to write notes calling us barbarians. They were first employed in combat at the Battle of Bulow Wood in June 1918, where they were used to literally mow down the enemy. It proved so devastating that on September 15, 1918, the German government officially protested its use. 50 years later, the U.S. military involved in another war, this one in Southeast Asia, and the M-16 was finally overcoming its unfortunate baptism of fire. The gas system caused a lot of jams. This armor-like design, under the direction of Eugene Stoner, proved to be a revolutionary weapon. It offered select fire, was lighter than the M-14 that it replaced, and fired a smaller round than even hunting rifles of the era. And it made it ideal for the civilian market as well, but with a difference. Whereas the military's was select fire, the civilian AR-15 has always been offered only as a semi-automatic firearm. And the AR-15 in many respects is no different in terms of capabilities than many other civilian firearms. Yet because of its appearance, it is erroneously described as a weapon of war. This is where they could come in and they could say, here, listen to me. The difference between an assault weapon and a civilian weapon is mechanical. It is not cosmetic. It is mechanical. And without the mechanical aspects of select fire in a weapon, then it is not an assault rifle. It is a personal defense weapon, so titled as such by the Department of Homeland Security when they bought them. You know, when you look back in history, slings and bows and clubs and swords have all been employed as weapons of war at various times in history. And yet, during the era of the American Revolution, there was virtually no line between civilian and military firearms. In fact, the guns carried by the Americans were far superior to the Brown Bess muskets used by the British Army, considered at the time among the very best soldiers in the world. And the Founding Fathers knew this when they drafted the Second Amendment. And the line between weapons of war and civilian firearms remained blurred throughout the 19th century, and there were certainly times when the U.S. military could be described as outgunned. During the Battle of Little Bighorn, Custer proved to be a bad guy, but it wasn't leadership-wise. What was notable is that every trooper in the 7th Cavalry fought with a single-shot breech-loading Springfield carbine and Colt revolver, while Sitting Bull's Lakota warriors were armed with the Henry, Winchester, and similar lever-action repeating rifles. The U.S. Cavalry, armed with the era's weapons of war, were defeated soundly by an opponent carrying civilian rifles of the day. That point cannot be overstated. It wasn't until the passage of the National Firearms Act that there was even any restrictions on what the firearms of the general public could own, and until that time, there was still no line between what a weapon of war and a civilian could own. Today is not only much clearer, but one of a legal issue, and due to the NFA, machine guns are highly regulated, while no automatic weapon made for the military can be owned by civilians. In fact, none can be made. Anything made after a certain date in 1986 is off limits for me and you, unless we go through the NFA process and pay probably as much as, you know, a nice car would cost. And the fact, one fact cannot be overstated, okay? The U.S. military uses firearms that have features and functionality that the civilian models do not. They recently adopted the M5 Select Infantry Rifle and M250 Automatic Rifle, which replaced the M4 Carbine and the M249 Machine Gun. Those are some true weapons of war and will never be available for civilian sales, while the AR-15 is simply a civilian firearm that cosmetically has attributes that the former military issue weapon has. Until U.S. warfighters carry the AR-15 into combat, it is simply wrong to label it as a weapon of war. But see, it's all about wording, you know? It's all about wording. Here is where the line gets drawn, because what they've done is they realized early on that AR-15s were actually a weapon that in certain hands, they could, they did have some utility. All guns have utility, though. Shotguns, I just talked about shotguns, how they could work. Sure, they could be a weapon of war again. They have been before. But, the founding fathers wanted you to have weapons of war. That's the thing. So, in any event, AR-15s, any of these semi-automatic guns that are fed by an external magazine that, are shooting with one pull of the trigger, one round of ammunition, they're just civilian variants. That's all they are. That's all they're ever going to be. They want to ban them, of course, because anything they don't like, they think they should ban. Therein lies the rub. Anything they don't like, they think they should ban. They want to ban fossil fuels. They want to ban gas stoves. And now they want to ban AR-15s. But actually, if you look at the details of it, they'd be actually banning a lot of other things besides AR-15s, because then your Glock 17 becomes an assault weapon, because it has a magazine that uses more than 10 rounds and it's a semi-automatic. One thing they want to do is they want to take them all and they want to put all the semi-automatics that look like that in the NFA. And this latest thing with the pistol brace thing has sort of opened up the whole NFA argument. At some point, somebody pretty sharp could get out there and sort of think about doing away with the NFA, and that would be good. I'd like to see a few things come off of the NFA. And no civilian has ever used a fully automatic weapon to commit a crime or a murder in the United States. And except for a cop. Cop did one time. When we get back, we're going to look at some of the things the anti-gunners are saying. This is Gun Owners News Hour.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
Hi, this is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and best-selling author on safety and preparedness. The fact is, things are getting downright scary for everyone who's storing their wealth in the banks. We just saw the collapse of three major banks, and I would urge you to consider protecting your wealth ASAP. If even a tiny percentage of Americans attempt to withdraw their savings, we would see a collapse of the entire banking system, sending us into a modern-day Great Depression. Fortunately, there is a way for you to avoid this. It starts with contacting Advantage Gold. If you have an IRA or 401k, Advantage Gold can help convert those paper assets into physical gold and silver. This is the process that I recommend everybody use as a hedge against rapid inflation and to protect your retirement wealth from the banks. Take control of your financial safety today. Call 800-900-8000 to get your free gold investment kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Radio? Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream for the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue the mountain. Okay, 25,000 cheering extras.
Now, you want to try that on television?
Well...
You see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
One more time, shall we? This is Gun Owners News Hour. Coming from, I don't know who this is. Her name is Catherine Buchholz. I don't know where this is coming out of. This is about stand your ground laws. They have problems with them. And so everything that you're about to hear is verbatim what they're saying about them in their little articles that they try to score points with. This is about stand your ground. After a series of highly publicized shootings in the U.S., U.S. stand your ground laws, also called shoot first laws, are back in the news. Data by the Giffords Law Center shows that these type of laws are common across the U.S. states. They specify that people are allowed to use deadly force if they feel like their life or health is threatened in a public place without needing to try to retreat. According to Giffords, U.S. law largely agrees that this is also the case for private property, for example, if a homeowner feels threatened by an intruder. In several more states that don't have stand your ground laws, including California, Illinois, Oregon, and Washington, precedents exist that could influence how an assault, manslaughter, or murder case goes after a trial is started. While in stand your ground states, police could decide not to bring any charges based on these laws. On April 13th, black teenager Ralph Yarl was shot by a homeowner after going to the wrong address in Kansas City and was seriously injured. Andrew D. Lester, an 84-year-old white man, was charged with assault in the first degree. On April 17th, Kaylin Gillis, a 20-year-old white woman, was fatally shot in upstate New York after the car she was riding in went in the wrong driveway. Well, you know, does New York have a stand your ground law or a castle doctrine? The shooter, 65-year-old Kevin Monahan, was charged with murder. In another case where public area stand your ground laws could apply, two cheerleaders were shot and wounded in Texas after one of them accidentally got into the wrong car in a supermarket parking lot after their practice on April 18th. But the subject, 25-year-old Pedro Tello Rodriguez Jr., has been charged with deadly conduct, meaning he used a weapon recklessly, threatening, or dangerously. While in all three cases charges have been brought, stand your ground laws, as well as laws pertaining to private property, also referred to as castle doctrine laws or make my day laws, could still influence these cases and could theoretically see charges dropped or cases won for the defendants. However, in the Kansas City case, the prosecutor said he does not see the necessary precondition of threatening behavior and self-defense fulfilled when Ralph Yarl was shot through the door of the home. In the New York State case, the county sheriff was quoted as saying there was no reason for Mr. Monahan to feel threatened, especially as it appears the vehicle was leaving. No such info available in the third case. The subject is reported to have followed the two women to their car before shooting, likely exceeding the limits of stand your ground legislation. What remains is the question of how perceived rights under these types of laws and doctrines influence shooters' seemingly erratic behavior following what could be considered everyday mix-ups. See, these mistake shootings, these three mistake shootings, there's a lot of hay being made out of these. None of these, by the way, none of these shooters actually had cause to shoot somebody. So whatever comes their way should come their way. That's an important thing to say. Now, they make out like the average citizen can get a gun in their hands and just shoot somebody and everything's okay. That is not the way that works. Even somebody carrying a gun that gets involved in a self-defense situation is going to go through a whole lot of physiological stuff when that happens, because there's a whole lot of mental baggage that accompanies a shooting. And shootings typically take place with, there's a whole lot of adrenaline being dumped when that happens. So this whole idea that this all just happens willy-nilly and everything, it's shoot first laws and make my day laws. Okay. I understand. You're an anti-gunner. You think that, where do you think, though? And this is the thing. They never tell me this. Those three cases, which they're making, like I said, it's getting a lot of mileage. Where would you draw the line? Where would you say, okay, now this is an issue? I genuinely would like to know. Because while they're telling me all this stuff and saying all these things and all these other things, they're not telling me as they go along how they would have done it. And that means something. How they would have done it means something. So, that's a problem. The fact that they're out there slamming one thing and trying to discount or belittle the fact that self-defense happens. Self-defense happens every day. 6,000 times a day, according to the CDC. Then we have this. With all the gun violence in the news and with many Americans claiming that their right to own as many firearms and as many types of firearms as they want based on the Second Amendment, I decided to look at that amendment again. It says, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. First thing we see is that the amendment refers to a well-regulated militia. I wonder how many of today's gun owners are part of a well-regulated militia. Then we see that they were concerned with the security of a free state. This is understandable in an era without a standing army or navy or a formal law enforcement body. It established a group of citizens who would be available to defend the country state against foreign or domestic attacks. Now we have a standing military and policing forces to support this need, so a militia is no longer required. Finally, we see that the amendment addresses the bearing of arms. In the 18th century, this meant muskets, flintlocks, and front loaders. And few of us would have any problem with citizens owning any number of muskets, flintlocks, and front loaders that they want. Because clearly, the framers had no idea at all of what today's firearms would be like. Thus, it is apparent that the amendment and the Constitution does not apply to today's firearm situations in this country. The amendment does not preclude those who wish to own, carry, or use certain types of firearms from doing so. The mechanism in our society to do this is through state and federal legislation to define the applicable parameters for doing so. The Second Amendment does not apply to the United States today. Okay. Well, there were a lot of guns that you don't know about during that time. That's why they said arms. While they did not know that there were going to be AR-15s, they did know there were going to be weapons, because there have always been weapons since we began to do things like have fires and wear clothes. There have always been weapons. And the reason there's always been weapons is because there have always been conflicts of some type or scale. And whether it was a crime against one person or a movement against a group of people by another group of people, there's always been a need for weapons. The Second Amendment does not say that you are restricted to the guns that we had during our time. That's not in there. When you get in there and you're trying to assign to this value that, oh, they meant flintlocks and front loaders and muskets. No, that's just some of the guns they had. They certainly had other guns as well. They had something called the Puckle gun, which had a 21-round magazine, I think. So they had those, but I mean, you know, the fact that it doesn't have a lot of, it doesn't get a lot of play, because that's not in the narrative, is it? So, you don't get to go into the Bill of Rights and decide which amendments. There's a way to do that. There's a way to repeal the amendment. So go for it. Try to repeal the Second Amendment. I mean, at least this guy's got the stones to get out there and say out loud what he really wants to do. I'll give him that. But that's about as far as it goes, because you don't have the juice to repeal the amendment. It would take a majority of the states to say yes. And trying to legislate it away, the Bruin decision has sort of handled that for you. So you guys are, you're in dire need. Gun control overall, like it or not, is doomed. At least in my lifetime, it is doomed. At some point with me in this show, we're going to get back to the point, you know, I'll have Todd Jarrett on here and we'll talk about the joy of competition or something. But all this other stuff is just nonsense. All the things they try to do are nonsense. Law-abiding people are law-abiding people. That's it. There's no guarantees in anybody's life. There's no guarantees in anything either. So, you know, all of your little background checks and all these other things, the red flag orders, they're not going to stop crime. There's not enough police. There's not enough military. The military can't do anything here anyway. Military's not for here. There's only police. So, I love it when an uninformed citizen gets out there and thinks that they can throw a little word salad at me, and I'm just going to go, you know, I'm going to have to think about this. This guy seems quite reasonable. I don't play reasonable with you idiots. Gosh, so silly. I'll be back with you next weekend. Between now and then, carry your concealed weapon, your carry firearm as often and everywhere that you can. Stay awake. Stay aware. Employ that critical thinking, please. Then you are really armed. This has been Gun Owners News Hour.
At Spikes Tactical, we are all shooters with a very simple mission. Make the best product we can perfect at the best possible price for our consumers. We strive to produce the best components and rifles available, with quality control second to none, because real-world events don't allow for a second chance. Whether you are an operator, competitor, or home defender, Spikes Tactical will serve you well. Go to SpikesTactical.com. Spikes Tactical, 100% American-made to the highest standard.
At Chambers Custom, we have one job. We strive to build the most obsessively reliable, accurate, and beautiful pistols for the discriminating gun owner. Using the ageless 1911 design with a 21st century approach to each part and component, Chambers Custom meticulously begins each pistol as a standalone project, creating a bespoke, handcrafted, peerless firearm. They integrate all of the internal, external, and intrinsic elements that make a custom 1911 unique. Go to ChambersCustom.com. Chambers Custom, truly the mechanical advantage.
I need answers to my tax questions. Where can I find them?
Need answers? Try our interactive tax assistant on irs.gov/ITA. Simply select your tax questions, provide your information, and it gives you answers. Also, check our help and resources page and try our online tax map. 5,000 tax topics from A to Z. Plus, you can access forms, publications, in a variety of formats.
We depend on our drinking water supply daily, but where does that water come from? Your water provider encourages you to get to know your local water source so together we can protect and preserve it. The investments we make as a community to protect our water source now ensure we have a sustainable drinking water supply for the future. Visit drinktap.org to learn more. This message is brought to you by the American Water Works Association and your local water provider.